Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
So there's so much ambig. What's the word? So it should come.
Variants.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Planet Sky FF, the world where we won nothing. My name's Suj.
And my name is James.
James says, we've got a little bit of data to go through. I've got news for you, James.
For a bit, yeah.
Not only, my tablet's run out of battery, so you'll be reading the Twitter questions later.
Oh, right. You literally started recording.
We're
and then
flipping
just went,
it up.
Oh,
yeah,
shit,
I haven't got
anything.
My phone. It's all good. Sky season is finished, sir. You finished 540th in the end. Am I right?
520th, apparently.
520th in the end.
Yeah, it's my worst ever Sky rank.
Wow. Third season.
Yes.
Third season syndrome happens to all of us. what a season.
Nobody in the Premier League gets the third season syndrome anymore because they all go down in the first or the second season or stay for a very long time.
It's been a difficult season, obviously. So many more match days than you'd usually expect with all the double game weeks and postponements and COVID and what have you. So next season, we might get back to seeing a little bit more of a regular season. But a number of managers and patrons and what have you did particularly well. Well done to Neil. Well done to Dave. Who won in the end? Was it Mark?
Mark Wisdish. Congratulations,
yes, well done,
on being Sky Fantasy Football champion for 21-22 and now Planet FPL patron.
Nice.
As discussed with you
the other
day.
I did see the tweet that he's joining Patreon just for the patrons. We've introduced a new tier, which is £40,000 a month.
It's
just
nice
for Mark.
It's nice to know that he does listen to us.
Oh, dear. Not only that, we got tagged by the winner of FPL as well.
Who is a Planet FPL listener and a Tottenham fan.
And I have haven't changed my Twitter bio, but I'm about to change my Twitter bio and my LinkedIn profile. Mentor to a world champion. Because if he listens, I feel like I need to ask permission first. But as long as he's happy with me saying that I'm a mentor to a world champion, I'm putting it in my bio.
Ask him. Fine.
Peeps. And obviously, I don't even know what my rank for my main team was because it died a death about a few weeks ago. But I finished 7th in the end for manager of the month.
Did you, liar?
Is it 8th then?
Yeah, 8th.
8th. How many points was I off in the end? 35, 40?
No, you finished on 539. The main manager of the month was Steve McCall.
He did well from
576.
539, 576. That's
37.
37 points. I missed off one captaincy.
That wouldn't have won it for you.
It wouldn't have won it for me, even if I'd have gone Jamie Vardy, because that was 17 points.
Who did your captain final day?
I went with Reece James in the end. I could have gone Sonny. I bought Son, Kane. I bought Hugo Lloris and one other.
Ooh, ooh.
But I decided that Reece James was the biggest upside, potentially. Clean sheet, goal, some sort of tier, assist potential. He was the one that could have popped off big. Cancelo was the other one, but I didn't fancy
him. Do you know
who
the highest scoring player was on Sunday? This is an audio content as well, Suj.
It's not Sonny.
No, not Sonny.
I had Sonny, obviously. The highest scoring player on
Sunday.
Callum Wilson?
Nope. There you go. We're now in Sky Fantasy quiz mode now. There might be more
not
of this.
Sure.
Suj. Do you want me to sing it to you?
Kulusevski.
Give me your ginger from Sweden.
20 pointer. Interesting. So he would have been the one that, but he wouldn't have closed the gap. But I think if I look at it, 36 points, did you say? Off I was, 37 points. Had I got my captain on that day and then Captain Sonny, which was the sensible choice, that would have been
you still be sure.
15 or 20 points. But net, if you look at it, if I'd have said to you at the start of May, I'm going to be in the top 10 and only 15 points off. You wouldn't believe me.
I would definitely would not.
Exactly.
So I want to congratulate
you. I look at it and I think, yeah, fine. That was fair. The day that I lost it was that Sunday, the day after the FA Cup final. That's when Steve opened up a particularly decent lead of 30, 35 points. And then it was hard to claw it back. But yeah, thank you all, everybody, for the support, because it was fun. It was definitely fun.
A few people would like to give a quick shout out to.
Let's do it.
Actually, content creators first. All the content creators, there's so many now, too many to mention individually, but thank you all for your contributions on Sky Fantasy
indeed.
This season. As we said, I think last week or the week before, I doubt there's anyone near the top of this game who doesn't take in some form of Sky Fantasy content now.
Agreed.
I'd like to shout out Thomas Ford, who was the winner of our Patreon Mini League.
Nice.
And obviously near the top of our leaderboard, our friends Dave Perrins and Neil Curra, who for some reason didn't enter that fucking league, who finished second and third respectively. Absolutely super effort.
I was thinking about this on Monday. Like, we did the whole main podcast, probably because you were still pissed, but we didn't congratulate any mini league winners of anything for any of our leagues on Monday's podcast.
We'll do it next week or something, man.
But yeah, good to give them all a decent
I was still
shout
drunk
out.
On the podcast on Monday as well. My hangover kicked in about lunchtime yesterday.
Yeah, I was just thinking, normally we invite like the winner of the mini league, the mini league onto the pod that we've had before and stuff, and I was just we ain't chatting about any of that shit.
I'm shushing Suge, but
obviously it will happen at some point.
I have an idea for one of our July themed weeks, called Champions Week.
So we'll
come back to that, Suge.
Nice.
I've not got anything to add really on my season. I mean, disappointing in the end. I think I didn't have the focus on Sky this year that I had last year. And I think a lot of that comes around to how you're doing, right? I've said to you numerous times, I knew quite early on this year I couldn't win it. And this game's feeling more and more like kind of first or nothing. And Dave and Neil shouldn't feel like second or third or nothing, right? It's incredible achievements.
Crazy.
And I mean, if you're right near the top, but I mean, for me, I knew quite early on that I finished 30th last year. I wasn't going to get anywhere near that. So I lost a lot of interest. There's an interesting question in the Twitter comments. Sorry, I forget who it is. But asks, I'll probably try and find it, where someone's asked and said, do you think being a content creator obviously affects your rank? Because I think there were only two of the Sky content creators in the top 100, I think.
Paul McNulty must be up there.
Paul definitely. And I think Ian Parrin, I want to say, sorry, I may
Ian was well up there.
Wrong.
He did have a double-digit rank, I'm pretty sure. And also Frank's League or something. The question was around Frank's League. There was not that many in that league either.
Wand Act Venus says, would you expect to see more than two content creators in FF Stuff's Content Creator League and in the overall top 100? Does being a content creator hinder your own rank? I think the only thing I would say to that is it didn't last year. But I think quite often when you're in a bad place as a content creator, sometimes you tend to focus even more towards the content. And there is obviously a challenge for us in the sense that non-content creators, from a fantasy perspective, consume all the content and think about how to best implement whatever they hear or feel into their own teams. I've said to you this before, I think way more about the content than the fantasy team. But I think one of the reasons I did really well in Sky last year was I really did have a heavy focus on it. This year I did things like adding the planning spreadsheet for the patrons and stuff like that. So it was a lot more thought-provoked towards creating the content rather than what I was doing with my own team. And I think I took my eye off the ball quite a bit. I want to get that back next year.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think definitely in Sky I took my eye off the ball this year. Possibly because I just think...
So, I think there's things like forward planning. So, you're looking for your 2-4-1s, 3-4-1s, looking at who's picking up the tier
points. I genuinely
points,
think, like, honestly,
for.
With you, like...
Did you make lazy transfers?
I think, one of the reasons why I had a really good Sky season last year was because Jose Mourinho was Tottenham manager. I'm serious. Whereas, like, the second half of this season, there was a chase going on for my football team. So, that became my one sole passion. Whereas, I felt, like, emptiness about Tottenham all last season. So I genuinely think even that's had like an impact in terms of like Sunday. I had one transfer left in my second team. Hadn't thought about all week what I was doing. Walked out the pub in Norwich at 3 o'clock and went, I went Havertz in FPL. I didn't even look. Didn't even look. I'll throw Havertz in as a last day punt. Not that my second team was anything to worry about, but just things like that all season where I'd not given enough thought or plan into what I was doing with transfers. I made a lot of instinctive calls and stuff. I think I moved away from what I'd been doing very well at in terms of focusing on tiering and stuff like that. My eyes have just not been on the ball in the same way this year, I don't think.
The challenge,
if they are next year and I finish 1,000, then I ain't got no fucking excuse.
The challenge with being a content creator is around what you want to do versus what you should do. And sometimes the advice that you give, the suggestions we make are generally going to be the sensible suggestions, right? We're not going to come here and say, pump this and pump that and pump this and pump that. It just doesn't...
You do a bit towards the end, didn't you?
Towards the end, of course.
We never sat here and mentioned Kulusevski last Wednesday,
did
we?
No, of course not.
He's a brilliant price, 8.1. It's golden.
In both games, like I had him pre-free hit wildcard in FPL, and even when I was putting Sonny in, I was like, there's not that much in between them. Like, you argue the case that Sonny is 3 million cheaper than Salah and could match him. There's the same in that 3 million cheaper down to Kulusevski. The differential potential, like, yeah, Kulu's going to get a little bit less, but what else could you do with that 3 million? And sometimes I think we make the sensible suggestions. We'll chuck in punts here and there for players that we like, but probably not enough. And the thing is, when you give advice around sensible players, you end up not wanting to go against your advice because you'll get grief for saying, well, you said that do this and you've gone and done that. I think the counter argument to that, though, is Paul McNulty would probably argue that he's a fairly safe Sky player and does take the sensible choices and still smashed it again. So,
yeah, At the end of the day, Paul's strategy works. Giving advice
that's go with ownership and be safe doesn't mean that you won't do well, because it's evidently proved that you can do well with that strategy. But I think it just means that sometimes we do what we think we should rather than what we want. And you'll go with your head over your heart a few times. And in any game that's a guessing game at the end of the day, sometimes you've got to gamble a little bit. And if the gamble pays off, you win. And if you don't, it's just all gambling odds, right? The 4-1s, 5-1s. And if you get 5 or 6 of them all come in, bang, you're flying, and the accumulator pays off. But in some seasons, they don't.
Correct. One of the questions I assumed we'd have for this podcast is,
how many transfers you got left?
you know that's in there, right?
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
My main team finished with 20 left, 15 left, something like that.
Dan C1878, well done, mate. How many transfers left is reasonable at this stage?
Reset next year, 40.
Oh, a recluse wanted to know who's the best captains this week. You don't think that's funny, do you? I've thought about this. I think tonight is Tammy Abraham. I think Saturday is Benzema or Salah, depending on your opinion. And I think Sunday is Brennan Johnson of Nottingham Forest.
Saturday, if it was me, guys, and take this advice very seriously, I would be captaining Pete Featherstone, FPL team, or Nacho. I wouldn't captain any of that shit from the north.
Raptor's fit, apparently.
Is he?
Apparently, okay. Yeah.
If you want to punt, go Raptor. But if it's me, and I've trained and played with these guys, I would be looking at Featherstone and Nacho.
So just watch these guys.
And I think I wouldn't go James Drury because he's a fucking red card waiting to happen.
No, he's not.
Nah, he will be, but when I've wound him up.
Why are you going to wind him up? He's on your team.
No, I want him to bash someone. I want to watch James Drury plow through someone with a double. So there's your captain pick for Gaffer. And if you don't get the reference, you need to search Game Week 39, North v South, and set yourself up a fantasy team.
I've had a look through some point totals in Sky Fantasy at two different points. I've looked since the overhaul at the end of January, and I've also looked through the March international break, because I think the earliest thoughts we can have towards next season is, look, which players finished the season well? And there's also a little reflection in terms of players we might have overlooked since overhaul.
So can I stop you for a second? Quick question. What do you think is going to happen with World Cup? Like, they're not going to put the overhaul in the World Cup, are they?
Yes, I'll come back to that because someone's asked that.
I'm curious about that.
We will talk about it. Few things I wanted to highlight. So since overhaul in January, high scoring goalkeeper Alisson, 9 more points than Nick Pope. And this is interesting because I had this as a debate on one of the recent Sky podcasts in terms of, are you better off just going with Alisson, forgetting about it? You look at that 9 points difference, you throw in a couple of captaincies definitely there for Nick Pope. Pope outscores him, doesn't he?
Mm.
Definitely. But then obviously that's over a period as well where he's had games in hand, if you will, on Alisson. Other keepers that did really well towards the end of the season, Hugo Lloris. I feel like Tottenham players are the ones that I'm most interested in terms of pricing next season. Because if we move on to the defenders since overhaul, high scoring defender, do you know it? And it's not even close.
Since overhaul, Robertson?
Nope.
Cancelo?
Nope.
VVD?
Nope.
Trent?
Nope.
No idea.
Joel Matip.
Oh, nice. Okay. I did have him for a few games.
133 points. Now, it's worth saying.
What, four goals maybe in that time?
Van Dijk's second, and obviously Matip's got a few goals towards the end of the season, and Van Dijk missed Liverpool's last two games, which obviously does have an impact on that. The top five, all players you'd mentioned, so Matip, Van Dijk, Robertson, Cancelo and Laporte. The only five defenders over 100 points since the overhaul. Then you look at the next names on the list. Eric Dier, Ben Davis, and Christian Romero is a few down there. Remember, he's missed all of Tottenham's last three clean sheets at the end. And every Tottenham player picked up points on
tier points,
Sunday.
Yeah.
Everybody got at least a clean sheet of 7.
Right.
Every Tottenham player who started returned. And even one of the subs, Lucas Moura, did as well. I think if you'd had the 11 Tottenham players on Sunday, you'd have finished just outside the top 100 for the week.
Mad.
Yeah. But then the Tottenham players come afterwards. Dier, Davis, Romero. Davis is probably not one because Tottenham are definitely going to buy a left-sided centre-back. But I think Dier, Romero are two prices I'm really interested in at the start of next season. Which is also interesting as well because you still probably want one of Kane or Sonny, don't you, at the start, subject to obviously price dependent. A few other names who did quite well. Joachim Andersen, 7.3, 90 points in that period. Gabriel of Arsenal, 80 points. But you look at like Antonio Rudiger, 74. I feel like he played the majority of the Chelsea games.
Yeah.
He's behind the Tottenham boys. We know obviously they took their eye off the ball as the season went on. Only one midfield player since overhaul scored more than 100 points.
Kevin De Bruyne?
By miles, 123. Second highest scorer, Maddison, 96. And you got Kulusevski, Rodri, Bruno Guimaraes, Saka, all 90 or above. But so we've had five defenders over 100, only one midfielder. But that's KDB going back to peak KDB levels. But even then, KDB's well behind Kane and Son. Since overhaul, Kane, 158 points. Son, 157.
Wow.
Mo Salah, 98. Shows, doesn't
it? Yeah, but I mean, then that's that period where you slapped a few teams, good fours and fives.
There is one other forward who outscored Salah since overhaul. I think I'd give you 20 guesses, you struggle.
Nah. Eddie Nketiah.
Nope.
Oh,
that'd be stupid.
I thought it was something to do with me and my clothes.
No.
A forward who outscored Mo Salah.
Since overhaul.
It's not going to be Mane.
And he's only 8.6.
Gabriel Jesus?
No.
Not Tony?
No.
Club?
It's Wilfried Zaha.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know he was a forward in this game, to be honest with you, because I've never looked at him.
Wilfried Zaha. I know Ian Parham went with him for a bit at the end. 100 points since overhaul, Wilfried Zaha. And if we want to drill into even more recently, I looked at since the March international break specifically, so really for the running. Lloris, highest scoring goalkeeper, ahead of Nick Pope. Jordan Pickford finished the season quite well, 53 points.
He had a couple
points.
Of man of the matches in there, did Jordan Pickford.
Matip, highest scoring defender again, yeah, with a couple of attacking returns as well.
Yeah.
But interesting, looking at this one, Eric Dier third, 62 points. Midfielders, KDB, 80 points since that March international break, ahead of Maddison, Rodri, Guimaraes, similar names in there. and forward Son way out in front, 95 ahead of Kane on 71, Richarlison 70. Did quite well for a few people towards the end, actually. And I just thought it was worth highlighting some of those who obviously finished the season really well. But if people would say, oh, what's your strategy going into the next season? It's all price dependent, isn't it?
Exactly. I could look at fixture dependent as well.
I could look at it now and go, do you know what? In my mind, Tottenham really stepped up in terms of clean sheets, ball retention in kind of the final 8, 9, 10 games of the season. I could look at it and go, do you know what? I think I really want one of Dier, Romero. Romero, I think, is really interesting because Dier is the one who's kind of the more guaranteed for, in terms of the passing tiers, a little bit like Cody at Wolves and Dunk at Brighton, sits off a lot deeper. But Romero's an animal. He gets tackled here as well, won't he? There'll be a red card in there at some point next season as well. But I think Romero could be an absolutely super asset next season because I think his end of season returns are kind of hidden. The fact he's missed those last 3 clean sheets for Tottenham, where in that period, he is definitely picking up kind of a minimum another 25 points on top of his end of season total. So he normally gets near Dyer's passing tier, but he's got the tackle tier to go with it, which Dyer hasn't.
I think next season, to be honest with you, until we know the fixtures and until we know when the overhauls are going to be, because is it going to be, is the season starting earlier to accommodate the World Cup? Does that mean there's a longer period before the first overhaul, or is it still likely to be 3 or 4 game weeks like it normally is?
I don't know how they're going to play it next year. I'm just going to see. We've got a definite question came in for it. I can't find the question, sorry. If I see it later, I'll find it for you. So next year is really different, and we can only speculate on what they might do with the game. But I think the really exciting aspect about it is the international break is technically after the 8th game.
Right, so we're hoping there might be 8 weeks.
So the international break, like last year we had it after
4 weeks.
Game 3.
Oh, was it 3 weeks?
I think so, yeah. Or game 4.
It's too early.
It's pointless.
Just makes the whole first 3 or 4 weeks template.
The September international break is at the end of the month rather than the start. Then it stops again for obviously the World Cup in
mid-November,
which is after the Premier League's 16th game. Obviously, Premier League resumes on Boxing Day, and then there's only one more break, which is I think it's the end of March, and I think it's after game 28. I want to say, but I might have that slightly wrong. There's a couple of different things they could do. One is just 3. It's a possibility, isn't it?
3 overhauls, yeah.
Possibly, I don't know. One is to just do during the World Cup.
Yep.
Which
halfway through the season,
which is quite an exciting prospect, I think. Or they go first and first break, so kind of after match 8,
and
then the World Cup, and then everyone runs from mid December. But obviously, normally it's kind of so early, and then kind of some point end of January, February, whenever there's a little break there. So, in terms of knowing exactly what they're going to do, I don't know. I mean, knowing them, they'll launch the game and people say, when's your overhaul? And they'll be like, we'll get back to you. We probably won't even know till quite late on, probably. So, but what it does mean is something's going to be different next year.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, even if it is that the difference is, oh shit, we've got to manage our teams and be conscious of what's happening at the World Cup. I mean, again, thinking for next season, if there wasn't an overhaul or anything like that at World Cup break, you've got certain players who are not going to the World Cup. Mo Salah, Erling Haaland, these players become, you know, naturally in your mind, you think, well, I definitely want to go into the World Cup with them and know I've got them sitting there on the other side fresh for the Christmas period and stuff. Whereas people, like, you know, if England get to the World Cup final or something, what's Kane's fitness state when he comes back for Tottenham, that sort of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Should we do some of these Twitter
questions?
Yeah,
do you want me to read them?
Would you rather?
I don't mind. Yeah, I feel naked without them.
Knock yourself out.
AD Tour. Do you know what, though? I've got old man eyes. I need font size, like a 16. You've got a font size 8 here. AD says, thanks for the great content, guys.
I wouldn't even know how to edit that.
Actually, do you know what? AD just said, thanks for the content, guys.
I added
the word great. Did going for manager of the month give you more enthusiasm? And is it something other managers should look to do when the second half, when the second half of the season gets stagnant, when you're not near the top 100? Good question. Yes and yes. I think it's fair to say that I don't have a strategy for Sky. Like, if someone said to me, how do you play Sky and what's your approach to it? I don't have one, really, because I just don't have the attention span for it. But doing Manager of the Month gave me a strategy. And the strategy was to look teams first, players second. So I looked at the fixtures and said, right, where do I want coverage from? And then looked at who can I get coverage from based on budget, and can I cheap out here, like a Dewsbury Hall will give me a bit of Leicester and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think the Manager of the Month is good. And it was 12 days. Managing 12 days is so different to managing an open-ended season when things might change further down the road and you don't know. So I would, if Sky was 10 individual Manager of the Month games, I would find it so much more enjoyable than one 10-month-long game.
I've been given, and maybe this is something we'll talk about as quite a valid point during the season, because I think it's been really good for you to kind of reinvigorate a little bit of interest in something you were, I wouldn't say disheartened with, but it just wasn't in your priority
it's
mindset.
It's not my kind of game, Sky.
That's fine. He's here to support me. But I was thinking about when's best to potentially
go for
deploy this next year. I think you roll out the first couple of months, particularly August, because just naturally anyway, a lot of people spunk their transfers at the start. We see it every year. Someone will tweet and go, why can't I make a transfer this week? And it's like mid-October, mate, you've used your 40 transfers, you're fucked. So maybe October. Obviously, November, December is interrupted by the World Cup. So December is literally going to be two game weeks, if you will. I think that's it. The 26th and the 29th of December, that'll be it. That's interesting. So it might even be setting up for like a January, February might be the best sort of strategy, because I think, again, a lot of, you weren't the only one playing it, Serge. We knew a lot of people who were going for it this month.
Yeah, for
once
sure.
The third team had got activated and stuff. So I wonder if next year's sort of January time,
because Neil Curra's got the question in, and he says, thanks for the content. Can we get Suge to go for August Manager of the Month next season? I don't think so, because of exactly what you said. I definitely think I'm going to leave my...
Too many.
I'll leave my third team for May.
Competition, don't you?
I'm happy to leave my third team for May. That's all fine and hunky-dory. But the second team, I think... there's a middle ground.
You should have two stabs here, because you won't do a second team properly. So you should have one team next season... have a second team where I think you go for it sort of January, February or something.
Yeah, so I'm going to do...
And then do it at the end.
There'll
be more games in May next year.
Fewer match days can be as difficult as too many match days. I think 10 to 12 is a nice middle ground if you've got 25 transfers to use in that month, 4-week period. If you've only got 3 days, then it really becomes a get captaincy right and you win and don't, you lose. Whereas 12, 13 match days... even if you miss one or two captaincies, you can still be strategic enough to win it. So I think there's advantages to somewhere in the middle in terms of number of match days. Too few is not helpful. Too many is not helpful.
The end of the season next year is May the 28th, I think I want to say. Mm. There's going to be some midweek May fixtures next year as well, I'm pretty sure. Champions League final is like 8th of June or something next year. So like May at the end, you'll need 30 transfers or so, I think, to win it.
Sam says, changes Sky need to make for next season, if any. For example, is it too template after overhaul from no price rises really engaging? But I don't think there's anything too particularly
pricing.
Bad.
I say it every year.
Yeah, increase the price of the players.
Everybody up.
I don't feel like after second overhaul it got too template.
Reality, right? If Haaland's got, let's just say, Southampton home game week one, and it's on a Monday night or something, and he's 13 million, everyone's starting with him. And that would be top end of pricing, right? Mm. Right at the top. Yet still, you're not going to put anybody off. Everyone's going for him. I want them to do shit that really makes people go, I'm sorry, that's too much. That's what I want them to do with it. People go, oh, you can't do that. Listen, make the game harder. For those who are listening who are good players, the harder this game is, the better. Because the more template it is, there's times I think a lot of us have looked at this game and gone, this is boring, in all honesty, because too many people had the same teams and stuff. How many weeks did we sit? It was like every week. It was like 2K, 2K. It was like bad week, I'm still at 2K. Good week, still at 2K.
Yeah. We've
all got the same bloody team, haven't we?
Maybe we should create a website, hard Sky FM. You know, like we get hard mode, easy mode, medium mode, hard mode, right? And we copy, everything is exactly the same, except we, because there's no price rises. We just change the prices of the players.
Sky FF we Expert could, or something.
We could do that.
Literally, Suj is going to go away and build this today.
I wish. but set me up a meeting with the developers. Dave, Mr. Simple. No, actually, let's go to Ian Parent's question. He wants a scrap man of the match.
Yeah,
Ian says thanks for all the great work all season. So Ian did put the great in.
Cheers, Ian.
Thank you, Ian.
And you too, mate.
He says scrap man of the match and a third tier. So 4 points. But then, you know, 7 saves, 6 tackles, 80 passes, 4 shots.
The only definitely get bin man of the match. It's a waste of time. It's a lottery. No one's generally in agreement. I've always disliked the fact that Sky is kind of very black and white in terms of the point scoring system, except when they miss one or two passes. But generally, it's black and white how it works. So there's so much ambig. What's the word? So just come.
Variants, no,
or variants, yeah. In man of the match selections,
randomness,
ambiguity. Cheers, mate. Yeah. I'd scrap it. I think the danger with say extra tiers, and you want to go say 80 passes or 90 passes, for example, something like that. Like it's still only really going to be the City Liverpool defenders that hit that regularly, so. Don't think that would change too much. There seems like, and Ian will probably have the numbers on this better than I will, but it seemed like there was a lot less shot tiers hit this year. I don't know if that's correct or not. Maybe even Frank FF stuff might have the data on that in terms of shot tiers hit last year versus this year. It felt like it was less this year. So, I mean, how many times do people hit 4 shots in a game on target? It's not rarely. Many. I think it's happened probably 5 or 6 times this season. I remember Ronaldo had like a five against Tottenham, I think. It's not happened often where I've looked at shots on target and a player's had sort of 4 or 5. So I don't think that makes a difference to them. Perhaps it could add a little bit of appeal to midfield players. But again, I think you're still going to, it's Rodri, isn't it? Or Fabinho, Thiago and stuff. And those sort of players haven't been overly popular in Sky this year anyway. Even looking at some of those midfielder lists of those who actually performed really well in the running, you're looking at people like Madison, Kulusevski.
I mean, Rodri was up there.
Rodri was up there, yes.
He got a few goals.
But then actually, Rodri added a few goals towards the end, didn't he? Mm. So I mean, Rodri would be very popular starting next season, I think.
Yeah. It kind of leans into Dave Simple Goals questions. He's got two. What's a really low maintenance way of playing Sky? Is it even possible?
A low maintenance way? What does that mean? Sorry.
So you don't have to constantly manage your team. Well, spread 11 players gives you the most chance of captaincy. And go with the big teams as best you can, really.
So which one is it, Suj?
Well, that's the thing. I'm not sure. I think I'd fuck off captaincy and just get the players from as many City and Liverpool as you can possibly squeeze in and just leave it.
No, I think it's 1 from 11, I think.
I'm not sure.
It's the lowest way of doing it.
Well, Dave's second question is, what are your plans for your A and B team next year? Same team, different teams? I think I'm going to save my B team for a manager of the month push. But
what I've done the last couple of years, and it didn't work so well this year, but actually I had a really decent second team last year. I had that strategy all season long, one player from 11 different teams. So like, you know, Dunk sitting in there all year and stuff like that. I think Stuart Dallas was in all year as a Leeds player, or maybe it might have been Bamford. But yeah, spread of one player from the 11 teams. What I might look at this year is possibly even looking at a team from this season's top four and trying to run with it and see how it looks, like City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Tottenham, and seeing how it works.
Rab K, who's your unsung hero of your Sky team this season? Mine goes Christian Norgaard.
Oh. Yeah, the nightmare.
He Christian just ticked Norgaard. Along. As soon as I bought him in, I bought him because he was cheap and it was like, well, he'll do, and ended up being like, shit, this guy's all right, you know? Christian Norgaard for me. Definitely my unsung hero.
I'm struggling to think of one. I think
JWP was all right for bits as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't say unsung. Yeah, maybe.
Gallagher at the maybe. Start of the season. Conor Gallagher was a beast.
It wasn't unsung in the end. We're talking about a player who got up to sort of 70, 80% ownership or so. So I wouldn't call that unsung as such. Yeah, maybe James Ward-Prowse. That feels like a terrible choice, though.
Gordon Bell, what was the worst decision? Coming out of second overhaul with Luca Dean in his team or using two transfers on Tyrick Mitchell to get 0 points?
To be honest, it was completely understandable going Villa. Like, I gambled Philip Coutinho for a little bit and worked quite well. You're a little bit unlucky there with Luca Dean. But then Luca Dean is not really a sky asset. It's not really going to have the tier. You are relying so much on those attacking returns. While you've got players like Joel Matip at similar prices who are knocking in like 80, 90 passes every week. I think with Mitchell, you're really unlucky because we highlighted him a few times. I've said I think he's one to really watch out for next season, subject to price. He really does it in tackle tiers.
Stian doesn't play Sky, so he's decided to put a food question in. It wouldn't be Planet FPL without food. Have you ever been to a place called Burgerism? Their burgers are supposedly amazing. Never heard of it.
No.
There's plenty of good burgers in London, no doubt.
Plenty of shit ones as well.
Ammon says, do you think any players are likely to change position next season? Midfielders turning into forwards, forwards into midfielders, that kind of thing.
I was thinking about this actually on reflection of Kulusevski being the highest scoring player at the weekend. I'm thinking, technically, the way they've done things the last few years, technically he goes as a forward next year, which is really shit because obviously if he's at the same position bracket as Kane and Son, he doesn't get a look in. But if they put him as a forward and put him at like
7.5 or 8
or something, then maybe it's still sort of
interesting,
viable to look at it. Whereas actually, if they put him at that price as a midfielder, he's gonna if he's a midfielder, he's gonna be more. He's probably gonna go towards the 9 bracket or so, I should imagine, because he's a great fantasy asset, really. I spoke so much about him on the FPL pods last week about. I just think there's 3 better Tottenham assets next week. Otherwise, I'd love to have him. Of course, got that one wrong as per usual. Differences next year. I don't think there'll be majors. Like I think, say, like we mentioned Zaha, I think he stays as a forward and stuff. I think it's always a concern that some of these midfielders might
push to forwards
and stuff. Like Luis Diaz came in as a midfielder, didn't he? Does he become a forwards? I think they've got to be a bit careful to break them out. I really think, and it's an awkward one, and it needs interpretation, because I do think under this format, I think Son should be a forward and Kulusevski should be a midfielder, even though in defensive phases they actually pick up very similar wide positions. I do think there should be a differential to that in terms of Son's last man running and things like that. But I don't know if they'll look at it that way.
Andy Cairns has a question. He says, did Manager of the Month reinvigorate my interest in Sky? I'll tell you what, I mean, we talked a little bit about it. One thing I would add to what we said earlier is, I mean, you've always said Sky is a very winnable game, and I've probably not believed you.
We've got 2 of our best mates from the community finished 2nd and 3rd, mate.
Yeah. So £50,000... actually being achievable has reinvigorated it. And then I've seen quite a few cash leagues where people have put like 10s and 20s to enter, and there's decent pots up to 10th place or whatever else. So I might be on the hunt for a few little cash leagues. So I think money will reinvigorate my interest. So does that answer your question?
That's such promoting gambling.
Money, mate. It's
do you know what?
Playing a game.
Money does incentivize you, I think.
Yeah. Me or people in general?
Just you.
Okay.
And people.
Tom Hartnell. How much should the premium defenders be next season? I mean, the thing is, they are expensive in this game. I mean, compared to FPL, the difference here is...
New players find it really difficult, I think, in the first instance, to look at like Van Dijk and Son being similar prices and can't get their head around that. The problem is, I mean, those who went on Joel Matip during the second half of the season, like, very well done. It's been incredible for you. And he was great and terrible for me the year before, wasn't he? Mm. He's always a player who's been underpriced because of his injury record primarily. But then this year we had, because Stones and Diaz had been first choice for a lot of City last year, we had obviously Laporte at this big discounted price as well. that was one I did spot quite early on. I was like, you've got to get him in as a preference.
Yeah, he might be up there as
because of his price. He's obviously
rising star type player,
way up next year. But unfortunately, there is always one. Again, I don't know if it's one they look at it. So if they price it up next year based on how they did this year, John Stones is going to be cheaper than Laporte and Diaz, you would think, I would guess. Or to be honest, Diaz is definitely going to get a drop of price. One of Diaz or Stones will lock themselves down as first choice again next year, and they'll be a complete go-to for this. And that's always a little... That's where we get the template thing. There's a case to say, put those three players in and make them all 11 million or something. They won't do that.
FPL Roberto, for someone who's never played Sky before, James, what should they do to prepare for next season? Go back and listen to our pod from a couple of years ago.
I think so, yeah. Like anybody, just tag me and I'll send you the intro. It's 2 years old, but I still think it's very relevant. You'll get the idea. Obviously, some of the players we mentioned are obviously very different, but we talk about Van Dijk's worth and things like that. So, yeah, just tag us and I'll happily link you to that.
And let's give a question now to Ron Mintz at Sky FF. Next season, we've talked about this before, to be honest with you, but he's talking about, is it worth skipping terrible single game days to save your transfers for the bigger, better teams that are more reliable?
The thing is, like, I use that Pope-Alisson comparison again. Clearly, Pope's the right choice in that scenario rather than Alisson. Even though Alisson's got the guarantee, obviously in this format, you can hit the save tiers as well. You'll hit them bigger and better than Ederson, for example. I think Alisson is capable of the odd man of the match, even when he's playing for Liverpool. But with the additional fixtures and the adding on of captaincy, because you're not going to captain Alisson, are you? You're sitting there with Van Dijk, Matip, Trent, Salah, Diaz. You're not going to captain Alisson, right? So when you add on the captaincy of Pope and stuff, he's worth having because he's going to bump you up that little bit more to take you over Alisson's basic flat rate. And arguably saving you transfers in the process as well, where you think, oh shit, I want to move on player X to cover the captaincy as well. So no, but I look back on certain things like, who did I have for Watford Norwich this year? I would have had someone.
Dennis, Pookie, no.
I can't remember, but he had someone that night.
Cucho.
I genuinely, I can't remember. It might well have been Dennis.
Dennis, I feel like.
Right before overhaul, wasn't it? I think so. Probably was.
Five something.
In fact, no, I had Josh King, I think.
Okay.
I think. But yeah, things like that you look back on and you go, and actually that's a different case because it was right before, if I'm remembering this right, it was right before overhaul. Obviously, it was only one transfer to get them in rather than the second one to get them out. So I feel like it was worth it. But if that sort of fixture was to come up again in October and stuff, just say, fuck this, I'm not having it. That said, those who were on Dennis early last season at 5.5 would have done very well out of it, no doubt.
Yep. Last question, James, is around overhaul for next season. There's a couple of people asking about it. You mentioned three potential options. What's your preferred option?
In terms of how they do it?
Yeah.
None
of them. They've got to do two overhauls or three overhauls or whatever.
My honest opinion on that would be 40 transfers and no overhaul. Or bump it up to 50 transfers and no overhaul.
So if the three options you gave...
I'd rather not have the overhaul. The overhaul fucks the game because everyone goes to the same team.
Right. You don't think overhauling...
I'd rather not have it at all.
They're going to do two at least next year.
No, I don't know. I think it could be just one at the World Cup, maybe.
Maybe. That'd be interesting.
But again, it's not in their interest. They want to keep the engagement and stuff like that, and having the overhauls certainly helps with that for their majority players and second teams, third teams, whatever, and stuff like that. But if you're asking me, what would I prefer? No overhaul. Just have the transfers. Let's go. Let's go. Because with that as well, everyone makes mistakes, particularly in the first overhaul. Every single person, even the person who's top coming into first overhaul, will have made some mistakes.
Two or three players,
absolutely. Yeah. Even if it's just one, will have had something like, oh shit, I wish I'd gone that, yada, yada, yada. Everybody has to remedy their mistakes. And also, I think when everyone's picking a team in game week one, you're going to get way more variance than what you would do once you've got 3-4 months worth of data and everybody's got the same idea of what they want to do December, January. I would just scrap them personally.
And on that note,
they won't do that.
No, it's unlikely. I think we should probably have an overhaul. I think overhaul is fun, but it's got to not end up with
or
a template.
Or even better, fine, have an overhaul, but everybody chooses when they use it. So if you want to save it till March, you save it till March. If you fuck it up at the start and you want to use it in September, use it in September.
Yep. Listeners, thank you for your support with Sky this year. It's been a fun enough journey, and we'll be back next season, as always. I'm sure we'll be trying to get some of our league winners and Champions Week and all that kind of stuff together for more Sky content once the game is released. But other than that, hope you enjoyed the season and did as well as you could have hoped for. Stay safe. Look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great summer. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.